This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Audio Journal's Young at Heart. The book selections for this hour are designed for elementary and middle grade listeners. This program is supported in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. My name is Lavender, and I'm happy to be with you today. I will finish reading The Doll People by Anne M. Martin, but because we will have some time today, I will start a new book called The Return of the Homework Machine by Dan Gutman. Annabelle gazed down at Auntie Sarah. "I finally found you, and now I have to leave you in this place?" She looked around the dim, dusty attic and almost let out a sob. "We don't have a choice," said Tiffany. "I already heard the clock chime 4. "Come on, Annabelle." She grabbed Annabelle's hand, and Annabelle said desperately, "We'll be back as soon as we can, Auntie Sarah. I promise. So long for now," she called over her shoulder as Tiffany pulled her toward the stairs. When Annabelle scrambled back up the stool and into the doll's house later, she was so excited that all she managed to blurt out was, "We found Auntie Sarah!"
"You found her? You actually found her?" cried Mama Doll.
"Yes, and she's alive!"
Papa sat down heavily in a chair. Nanny gasped, and Annabelle thought that this time Uncle Doll was going to faint, but he didn't.
"We must go to the attic and get her immediately," he said, and it was only later that Annabelle would realize she hadn't yet said where she and Tiffany had found Auntie Sarah.
In the excitement, though, no one else noticed.
"Whoa, did you guys realize that Uncle Doll said go to the attic and notice how so it sounds like he already knew that she was in the attic, huh?"
The dolls asked a million questions, and Annabelle answered them proudly. But after a few minutes, Annabelle said, "You know, we have a big problem. I don't think it's going to be too difficult to rescue Auntie Sarah. I think if we all go to the attic together, we can work her dress out from under the trunk. But then what are we going to do with her?" No one spoke. Annabelle knew it was on the tip of everyone's tongue to say, "Why, just bring her home, of course." But each of the dolls stopped upon realizing that that was exactly the kind of thing that would put them in jeopardy. Eventually, the dolls had to resume their positions before a plan had been made, but Annabelle whispered, just as the alarm clock went off,
"We'll meet with the Funcrafts tonight. I know we'll figure something out."
The next day, the dolls were less careful than usual. Whenever they thought they were alone, they scurried into the parlor to talk about Auntie Sarah. But by nightfall, they had decided on only one thing, that when the Funcrafts came over, Nanny would stay behind with baby Brittany and baby Betsy, and the rest of the dolls would go to the attic to see Auntie Sarah. Annabelle was terrified that something would happen to keep them from making the trip up the attic stairs, that the captain would appear, or that it would begin to rain again, or even that Kate would have trouble sleeping. But none of those things happened, and shortly before midnight, Annabelle found herself leading the way up the stairs. Behind her, she could hear all sorts of groans and grunts and exclamations. Mama and Papa had particular difficulty with the steps, but Mom and Dad Funcraft helped them.
"Isn't this exciting?" Annabelle whispered to Tiffany as they neared the top step. "Look what Selmp has done."
"We are amazing," said Tiffany.
The moment the last of the rescuers Papa had huffed and puffed his way up the top step, the nine dolls looked ahead of them into the dimly lit room.
"This is the gateway to the attic," said Tiffany dramatically.
"Where's Auntie Sarah?" asked Uncle Doll.
"Over here," said Annabelle, and led the way to the trunk.
"Look at all the stuff," exclaimed Bobby as they passed by the boxes and crates and old odd pieces of furniture.
"We definitely have to come back here," said Bailey. "We could play here every night. Think what we might find."
"It's quite a playground," agreed Mom Funcraft. Mama and Papa said little, but Annabelle could see them gazing around the attic with wide, curious eyes.
"Okay, Auntie Sarah is back here," Annabelle finally announced. "Come on, everybody."
Just then, Papa held out a hand.
"Uncle Doll should go first," he said quietly.
So Annabelle led Uncle Doll around the corner of the trunk and then slipped back to her family and the Funcrafts. She wanted to listen to what was being said between Uncle Doll and Sierra, but Mama shook her head.
Finally, after several minutes had passed, Papa said, "All right, now I think the rest of us would like to see Auntie Sarah."
"Okay," said Annabelle, and she walked around the trunk again, this time followed by the other dolls.
"Here she is," she said, and there was Auntie Sarah, still lying on the floor, of course, but now Uncle Doll was kneeling beside her, holding her hand.
"I just can't believe I've been here for 45 years, Auntie Sarah was saying. "I feel like Rip Van Winkle."
"Who's Rip Van Winkle?" Bailey asked, but in the confusion that followed, no one answered him.
Annabelle introduced Auntie Sarah to the Funcrafts, and then all the grown-up dolls began talking at once. Mostly, Annabelle heard apologies from Mama and Papa and Uncle Doll. And then she heard Mama say something she would have to ask her about later.
"We thought you had run away."
"Run away?"
"Why?"
Annabelle started to say. But Mom Funcraft had stepped over to Uncle Doll, who was still holding Auntie Sarah's hand.
"I know you haven't seen each other in a very long time," she said to Auntie Sarah, "but shouldn't we see if we can't free your dress?"
Uncle Doll answered for her.
"Oh, my, yes, of course. How silly of us."
He got to his feet. Mama and Papa and Uncle Doll and Mom and Dad examined Auntie Sarah's dress and the trunk.
"If we all work together, we could move the trunk?" asked Bobby from behind them.
"I don't think so," replied Papa after a moment.
"But if we work together, I believe we can pull Sarah's dress out from under it," said Uncle Doll.
The dolls, all nine of them, bent down next to Auntie Sarah and each grabbed two handfuls of her dress. They pulled. They pulled harder. They braced their feet against the trunk and groaned and pulled even harder.
"Hey, it's moving," cried Bailey.
And so it was. Very slowly, Auntie Sarah's dress was sliding out from under the trunk where it had been trapped for 45 years. In the end, a small piece caught on the brass fixture on the corner and tore off, but it was so tiny, and Auntie Sarah was already so very dirty and dusty and cobwebby that Annabelle didn't think it would matter. Auntie Sarah raised her hands to her head.
"Goodness," she said. "Thank you."
Uncle Doll helped her to sit up, which she did stiffly. Then she announced that she felt fit as a fiddle and ready to go, but Uncle Doll held her back.
"Not yet," he said. "We haven't figured out what to do with you. You can't just appear in Kate's dollhouse. That would raise suspicions."
"It certainly would," said Mama. "But luckily, I have an idea," said Annabelle.
You do? Said Tiffany. You didn't tell me.
I just thought of it now, replied Annabelle.
What we must do is get Auntie Sarah to a place where one of the Palmers will find her so she can be returned to the dollhouse by a human. That wouldn't put us in jeopardy. So I thought, where could she go after all these years that won't make the Palmers suspicious? Right away, it came to me. The captain's bed. If we put Auntie Sarah there, the Palmers will think the captain has been prowling around again. And he found Auntie Sarah somewhere and took her to his bed so he could play with her.
That's brilliant! Exclaimed Tiffany, and everyone agreed, except for Auntie Sarah, who simply said, "Who's the captain?"
Annabelle explained, and after a moment, Auntie Sarah said, "A cat's bed?
Well, all right, if I must, I must. Let's go."
"Oh, not tonight, Sarah," said Uncle Doll. "I'm afraid there isn't enough time. We'll have to go tomorrow."
"You mean I have to spend another night in the attic?" said Auntie Sarah. "Oh, dear. Well, perhaps I'll see Amorobius Ferox after all, or even Uranius Diadematus. What a shame I don't have my journal with me."
The dolls talked for a bit longer, and then Papa said to Auntie Sarah,
"It's time for us to leave. I'm terribly sorry, but we'll be back tomorrow night."
"And maybe by the day after that, you'll be home again," said Annabelle.
Chapter 17. The Captain Helps Out. Annabelle Doll put her hand to her mouth and gasped. Once again, she had led the rest of the dolls to the attic, and now she was standing in the spot where Auntie Sarah had been trapped for so long. And Auntie Sarah wasn't there.
"She's gone!" Annabelle cried softly.
"Oh, again?" said Uncle Doll.
"No, no, I'm here, I'm right here."
Auntie Sarah came, bustling out from under a footstool. "I thought I saw a fine male specimen of Philodromus Disbar run here, but I guess not. I can't find him anywhere."
"Thank goodness," Annabelle muttered to Tiffany. "Are you ready to go downstairs, Sarah?" asked Mama.
"To be discovered?" added Mom Funcraft.
"I've never been so ready," replied Auntie Sarah. "All right, then, let's go."
This time, Papa led the way back to the attic stairs.
"Mama, can Bailey and I stay in the attic and play?" asked Bobby.
"Not tonight, dear. We have an important job to do."
"We have a mission," Tiffany whispered to Annabelle.
"Well, can we come back tomorrow?"
"We'll see."
"Bobby, come on," said Annabelle. "If you're not going to take this seriously, then you should have stayed home with Nanny the babies."
"Children, that's enough," said Mama. "No arguing."
As the dolls neared the bottom of the stairs, Annabelle began explaining things to Auntie Sarah. "Now, in case you don't remember, the door just to the right is where the parents sleep. Only now the parents are Annie and her husband. Grandma Catherine's room is downstairs. We'll pass Kate's and Nora's rooms on the way to the living room stairs," added Tiffany. "And once we're on the first floor, we should keep an eye out for the captain," said Annabelle.
"I don't know where he stays now at night, and he's very crafty.
But the dolls and the fun crafts, with Annabelle, Tiffany, and Auntie Sarah in the lead, made their way to the living room without running into any humans or the captain. Annabelle breathed a sigh of relief.
"All right, now where is the captain's b—"
Auntie Sarah started to ask. She paused as she looked around the living room.
"My!
Everything is so different. The furniture has been moved. No, wait, it isn't even the same furniture. And where is the radio?
The Palmers don't listen to the radio much, said Bobby. Mostly they watch TV.
Of course, Auntie Sarah didn't know what TV was, even when Annabelle and Tiffany showed her the big TV that now sat where the radio had once stood.
Maybe someone will turn it on while you're waiting in the captain's bed, said Bailey. Then you can see what it is.
It's sort of like a radio with moving pictures, Tiffany added helpfully. But Auntie Sarah said she couldn't envision it.
Well, anyway, here's the bed, said Tiffany, taking Auntie Sarah by the hand and pulling her to the horrible old sweater behind the armchair.
I'm sorry it's so hairy.
Uncle Dahl put his arm around Auntie Sarah.
You probably won't have to stay here for long, he said. But suddenly, Annabelle felt a prickle of alarm.
Oh, no!
What, Annabelle? Said Papa.
What if the captain finds Auntie Sarah and takes her out of his bed and runs away with her?
He might not play with her in his bed, you know.
Or what if none of the humans looks in the bed for a long, long time?
Oh, why didn't we think of these things earlier? This was a stupid idea!
You forget whom you're talking about, said Auntie Sarah. If the humans don't look here soon, I'll think of something. As for the captain, well, I've not met him, of course, but I have no doubt I could escape from him, and when I do, I'll just come back here to his bed. I'm not afraid of cats, you know.
Mom Funcraft smiled at her. We find that cats can be a wonderful source of exercise.
Not to mention that they are fascinating to study, said Auntie Sarah.
Now go on back to your houses, all of you. I'll be fine down here. With any luck, I'll see the TV before I come home. I'm certain I'll be back in a day or two.
The dolls and the Funcrafts said hasty goodbyes to Auntie Sarah. They were in their rooms long before the Palmers awoke. For a while, Annabelle sat on her bed and thought about her aunt. She thought about finding her trapped in the attic. Then she thought about the day so long ago when Auntie Sarah had disappeared.
Mama,
said Annabelle, sliding into a chair in the kitchen where her mother was sitting at the table. Mama Doll looked from the bit of sewing she sometimes worked on at night.
Yes?
Mama, I heard you say something to Auntie Sarah when we were in the attic last night, and I didn't understand it.
What was it? Asked Mama.
You said we thought you had run away.
What did you mean?
Mama Doll put down her sewing.
Well, why would Auntie Sarah run away from us?
Annabelle continued. Didn't she love us?
Oh, yes, of course she loved us, but she was so different from the rest of us. She was so much more bold. And we were
timid? Annabelle suggested.
Not timid exactly. Careful. We have to be careful, Annabelle. You know that. And we felt that Auntie Sarah wanted to take chances. Sometimes that led to arguments. Auntie Sarah thought we were holding her back from things she wanted to do. And we thought Auntie Sarah was putting us in danger. So when she disappeared, Annabelle interrupted again.
When she disappeared, you thought she had run away.
Yes. You thought she wanted to leave us. Which was a horrible thought, of course.
So that's why you didn't look for her. You thought she didn't want to be found.
Partly, and partly we were afraid to look. We felt terrible. Uncle Dahl wanted to look for her. He wasn't sure she had run away, but Papa and Nanny and I were. And anyway, we never, ever left the house on our own.
Annabelle felt a tremendous sense of relief, as if something very heavy had been lifted from her heart.
So if I did disappear, you would come looking for me, even if you were a little afraid? I mean, if you thought something awful had happened and I wouldn't be returned by Kate or someone in a few days?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course, Annabelle.
Annabelle leaned forward and hugged her mother. The next day, Annabelle was in a frenzy of contained excitement. How could she just sit in her house waiting for someone to walk into Kate's room holding Auntie Sarah? Especially when that might not happen for days and days. Annabelle knew she was impatient, but she thought anyone would be impatient in this situation. She could tell that even her parents and Uncle Doll and Nanny were having trouble behaving like dolls. While Kate was still in her room, getting ready for school, the adults would shift their eyes toward the door if they heard the slightest noise in the hall. In the moment Kate left, Uncle Doll sat up from his place on the kitchen floor and said, "Oh, agony!" which made Annabelle and Bobby laugh. It was shortly before noon that day, when the house was very quiet, and only Grandma Catherine was at home, that the dolls heard a shriek.
"Oh, my stars!" Grandma Catherine cried from the living room.
Immediately, the dolls heard her footsteps on the stairs. Annabelle crossed her fingers behind her back.
"I'll be," said Grandma Catherine a moment later, as she bustled into Kate's room. "After all these years, I wondered where the captain found you."
Annabelle had been left in an awkward position on the floor next to the icebox, but she had a good view of the door to Kate's room. She watched as Grandma Catherine hurried to the doll's house with Auntie Sarah cupped in one hand.
"Won't Annie and Kate be surprised?" muttered Grandma Catherine.
As she spoke, she dusted off Auntie Sarah's clothes and polished her arms and legs and face on the edge of her blouse. Then she clucked over the tear in her dress.
"Why, your hand is chipped," she said. "Actually, you're quite a mess. Poor Auntie Sarah."
Grandma Catherine fussed over Auntie Sarah some more, straightening and brushing and adjusting and wiping.
"There," she said finally, "that's better. Although I don't think I can do much about your dress."
She sat Auntie Sarah on the couch in the parlor.
"My goodness, Annie and Kate have never seen you," she continued. "I think I'll just let Kate find you here and see what she says."
Grandma Catherine stood back and gazed at the sight of Auntie Sarah back in the dollhouse where she belonged. Then she hurried out of the room, a smile on her face. The dolls waited patiently. When they could no longer hear her footsteps on the stairs, they rushed to Auntie Sarah and surrounded her once again in a hug.
"We ought to have a celebration of some sort," said Mama in a whisper. "We ought to have a double celebration," said Auntie Sarah.
"Annabelle's birthday is in 3 days.
Leave it to Auntie Sarah to remember something like that after all this time." Annabelle gazed at her aunt and decided she was one of the most wonderful people in the world. Chapter 18. Annabelle's Birthday Party. The next few days were a whirl of activity for Annabelle and her family. The Palmers kept visiting the dollhouse to exclaim over Auntie Sarah. And of course, all the dolls wanted to spend time with her, to hear of her adventures of getting stuck under the trunk, about her night in the captain's bed,
and they wanted to tell Auntie Sarah the events of the last 45 years. There was so much talking to be done that no one was as careful as usual about when they moved around or where the humans were or who was at home. But they were careful enough, and no one got caught. At night, the dolls and the fun crafts ran back and forth between their houses, planning the party. It was to be held at the fun crafts since the dolls still had not had a proper visit to their home, had only seen it from a distance. Tiffany told Annabelle to expect a little surprise, but she wouldn't say anything more than that. On the night of the party, the dolls waited until the stroke of midnight before they began the climb down the stool. Annabelle had insisted on that. It wasn't her birthday until midnight, not really, and she didn't want the adventure to begin until her birthday had begun as well. Annabelle watched as her family made their way down the hallway to Nora's room, Mama holding a fresh bouquet of paper flowers. Uncle Doll and Auntie Sarah were in the lead, and Annabelle was proud of her brave uncle. He held Auntie Sarah's hand and talked quietly with her. When the dolls reached Nora's doorway, Annabelle peeked around the corner. "Here we are again," she whispered. Bailey waved to them from the door. "Hey, everybody," he called. "Happy birthday, Annabelle! Come on in!" Annabelle darted across Nora's floor, her family following. She ran straight to Tiffany, and together they entered the Funcrafts' house. Annabelle drew in her breath, ready to say how lovely, how charming the decor was. Instead, she found herself saying, "My, how modern!" "Thanks," replied Tiffany. Annabelle gazed around. Everything in the house was plastic, and most of it was pink. And it was still a huge mess. Furniture, books, pots and pans, everything that had come with the house was in a jumble. Chairs were tossed in corners. Tables were overturned. Pots and pans were scattered about the floor. The kitchen sink was resting on the staircase. "I guess Nora hasn't finished setting up your house yet," Annabelle said to Tiffany. "It isn't that so much," Tiffany replied. "She never even started to set it up. But she plays in the house almost every day, and she tosses things around. Yesterday, for instance, she was giving baby Brittany rides through the house in the flying sink." Annabelle caught sight of a hideous plastic chicken and a dusting of powder in the dining room and thought she knew what else Nora had been doing. The rest of the dolls had now entered the house. Mama presented the flowers to Mom Funcraft, who was delighted by them, and fussed about looking for a vase. Annabelle saw that Baby Betsy and Baby Brittany were seated facing each other on the kitchen floor. Baby Betsy was nearly twice as tall as Baby Brittany, but neither one seemed to mind. Bailey was leading Bobby upstairs. Dad Funcraft was showing Papa and Uncle Doll the microwave. Mom was showing the computer to Mama and Nanny. "Do you have your own room?" Annabelle asked Tiffany. "It depends," Tiffany replied. "On what?" "On where Nora puts our furniture. I'm supposed to share a room with Bailey and Baby Betsy, but right now Bailey's bed is on the patio and the crib is up on the roof. So I guess I have the room to myself. Do you want to see it?" "Oh, yes," replied Annabelle. Tiffany and Annabelle ran up the stairs and into what Annabelle supposed was a bedroom. She supposed this because a bed lay upside down in a corner of the room, but she did not see a dresser or a rug or anything else that was in the nursery at the doll's house. Instead, she saw two plastic sheep, a couch, a box of Tide, and a dining room chair. Annabelle and Tiffany sat together on the couch.
"I'll tell you a secret," Tiffany offered. "One day, this was quite a while ago, the captain was bothering me. Usually I like him, but this one time, he was really being a pain in the neck."
"Yes," said Annabelle.
"Well, he was in the closet, so I pushed the door closed. I shut him in. He was only stuck there for a few minutes before Nora heard him scratching and let him out. But he learned his lesson."
"Goodness," said Annabelle, impressed. She thought for a moment, then said,
"I know a secret, too."
"You do? What is it?"
"I think I know who was writing in Auntie Sarah's journal."
Tiffany's mouth dropped open.
"Oh!" she cried. "I can't tell you yet. I have to talk to the person first.
But after you do, will you tell me?"
"Definitely."
Annabelle found that she couldn't stop smiling. Suddenly, there were a million things she wanted to tell Tiffany, old secrets she wanted to share with her. But Annabelle decided to keep the most important secrets of all to herself. The secret was this: she believed she had found a true friend, a doll friend. Auntie Sarah was back, and Annabelle loved her, but she was a grown-up. Annabelle loved Kate, too, but Kate was a human. Tiffany was a doll girl her own age. Annabelle realized she no longer felt restless, and she no longer felt that something was missing. She had found Tiffany, and she felt whole, and she was fairly certain that with Tiffany around, she would never be bored again. The doll friends talked in Tiffany's room for a long time. They talked until they heard Mom Funcraft call from downstairs.
"Tiffany, Bailey, Annabelle, Bobby, dinner's ready."
Annabelle leaped to her feet, pulling Tiffany up behind her. The dolls gathered on the Funcraft's patio, which was only slightly sticky with the remnants of the grape soda. In the center of the patio was a stand, on top of which was a brown plastic box with a lid.
"What's that?" asked Annabelle, pointing.
"The barbecue," replied Tiffany.
"Oh, the great taste of outdoors," said Annabelle, remembering.
She walked closer for a better look.
"Does it really work?"
"No, it just opens and closes." Presently, the party was underway. Baby Betsy and baby Brittany sat on a blanket, playing with the pink plastic pots and pans. Mom Funcraft and Mama Doll chatted and set the table, while Dad Funcraft and Papa Doll bustled back and forth between the kitchen and the patio, carrying trays of dishes and cups and plastic food.
"Okay, dig in, everybody," said Mom Funcraft.
The dolls and the Funcrafts oohed and aahed over the feast that was before them. Then Annabelle followed Tiffany's lead and gathered up a plate, a cup, and a checked napkin. She sat on the edge of the patio with the plate balanced on her knees and pretended to eat. Annabelle had never eaten a meal from her lap, and she thought it was fun. When the meal was over, Mom Funcraft said, "All right, Tiffany and Bailey will collect the plates now, and then they will help me with something in the kitchen. The rest of you wait here."
Ooh, Annabelle watched Tiffany help her mother and brother.
Then she sat back and waited. She had the delicious feeling that something nice was about to happen. And she was right. A few minutes later, Tiffany walked onto the patio holding a pink plastic cake in front of her.
Woo!
Bailey and Mom Funcraft were behind her, and they began to sing. The others joined in. They sang two verses. First, they sang, "Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Annabelle, happy birthday to you." Then they sing, "Welcome home and welcome back, welcome home and welcome back, welcome home, Auntie Sarah, welcome home and welcome back." Tiffany set the cake on a table between Annabelle and Auntie Sarah. "I'm sorry we can't put candles on it to make it a real birthday cake," she said. "They won't stick to the plastic, and besides, we don't have any matches, but you can still make a birthday wish. A secret one, okay? You make a secret wish too, Auntie Sarah. Just close your eyes and think your wishes." Annabelle closed her eyes. She thought, "I am the luckiest doll alive. Papa came home safe and sound. Then Auntie Sarah came home safe and sound. I've just had my first real birthday party ever. And I have a friend. I don't need a birthday wish. I only want to say thank you. This has been the best birthday in 100 years. After the cake, Tiffany and Bobby put on a program of songs and skits, and then everybody sang "Under the Boardwalk." After that, it was time for the dolls to go home. "What an evening," said Papa as they reached their house. "How wonderful to have neighbors," added Mama. "How did we manage to live for a century without them?" "I don't know," said Annabelle, thinking of her new friend. "They're so very odd," said Uncle Doll slowly. And yet amazing," said Bobby. "Adventurous," said Auntie Sarah. "Very friendly," said Nanny. "And neighborly," agreed Papa. "But mostly friendly," said Annabelle. The dolls were gathering in the parlor when Annabelle pulled Uncle Doll aside and whispered to him, "Could I talk to you for a minute?" "Of course." Annabelle and her uncle sat at the kitchen table. "I want to ask you something," said Annabelle. "Yes," replied Uncle Doll. Annabelle watched him fidgeting and thought that Uncle Doll already had an idea what her question was. "Did you know that I had found Auntie Sarah's journal, and were you the one who started writing in it?" she asked. Uncle Doll rested his hands on the table. "Yes," he said quietly. "You were giving me clues, weren't you? Clues that would lead Tiffany and me to the attic."
"Yes."
"Did you know all along that Auntie Sarah was there?"
"No," replied Uncle Doll. "I wasn't sure what had happened to her, but I had an idea that if she were stuck somewhere, it might be the attic. Then you found the journal, and I started reading it. When I got to the parts about the spiders, well..." Annabelle thought for a moment before asking her next question.
"Why didn't you go to the attic?" she said finally.
"Me?" said Uncle Doll. I suppose I could have, but you and Tiffany, I don't know."
Annabelle knew, though. She knew what her uncle was trying to say. He had been afraid, truly afraid, but he had thought Annabelle and Tiffany were brave enough and adventurous enough to do the job. He just hadn't known quite how to ask them to do it. And perhaps he hadn't wanted Annabelle to know how afraid he really was. He was starting to change, though, now a little. But Annabelle realized just how different she and Auntie Sarah were from Uncle Doll and Mama and Papa and Nanny. And suddenly, breathlessly, she felt flattered. She even felt a bit like a grown-up, which was both scary and wonderful.
"Uncle Doll?"
Annabelle said, straightening herself.
Why is it that I don't remember Auntie Sarah leaving our house to go exploring?
Well, for one thing, she didn't go very often, he replied. And when she did go, your parents insisted that she do it secretly, that you and Bobby never know she had left. She would climb out the window in our bedroom and drop to the little carpet below. There used to be a rug under our house, he added. When she returned, Nanny made sure you and Bobby were engaged, that you didn't see her.
But why didn't Mama and Papa want Bobby and me to know about Auntie Sarah's adventures? Was it because they thought we would want to leave, too?
Yes, replied Uncle Dahl, and they felt that was too dangerous.
And now? Said Annabelle. What do they think now? They still think that leaving the house can be dangerous. After all, look what has happened when we have left our house. Sarah was lost for 45 years. Your father was carried off by a cat. But I think your parents understand that some doll people, you and Sarah, for instance, need to leave the house. You are unhappy when you're cooped up. I believe they'll continue to let you leave as long as you're careful. They want you to be happy, Annabelle.
And so do I.
I know, replied Annabelle. Thank you.
She took Uncle Dahl's hand in hers, and they sat quietly in the kitchen for a while.
Chapter 19. Grandma Catherine and the Dolls. After the party at the Fun Crafts, Annabelle and Tiffany saw each other nearly every night, and sometimes during the day. If Nora had gotten Funcraft Dreamhouse Model 210, Tiffany said to Annabelle one morning, I would have come with a friendship necklace.
What's a friendship necklace? Annabelle asked.
She and Tiffany were sitting on the edge of Tiffany's bed, their legs dangling over the side of the dreamhouse.
Well, it's actually two necklaces, Tiffany replied. Hanging from each one is half of a broken heart. If you put the pieces together, you have one whole heart with the words best friends on it. If I gave you one of the necklaces, that would mean you were my best friend, and that is what I would do if I had a friendship necklace.
Aw, Annabelle beamed. And any time afterward, when Annabelle remembered Tiffany's words, she felt tingly all over. One evening, a Wednesday, Annabelle, who had been draped over the back of a kitchen chair, waited impatiently for Kate to turn out her light and go to sleep, heard Grandma Catherine's voice in the hallway.
Kate, she said, darling, you aren't asleep yet, are you?
No, replied Kate, who was reading in the glow of her bedside lamp. Annabelle thought she was reading Understood Betsy, but she wasn't sure, and she didn't dare turn her head to see. Grandma Catherine walked slowly into Kate's room and sat on the edge of her bed.
Hi, said Kate.
Hi.
Grandma Catherine tilted Kate's book so she could see the title.
Oh, I remember reading that with your mother.
When she was 8? Asked Kate.
Yes, when she was 8. Are you enjoying the book?
Yes, but I'm having trouble concentrating on it right now.
You are? Why?
I'm thinking about something else, replied Kate.
Something I've been thinking about a lot lately.
And what is that? Asked Grandma Catherine.
The dolls.
The dolls? Annabelle and Bobby and the dolls in the dollhouse?
Yes, especially Auntie Sarah.
It's nice to have her back, isn't it? The dolls are very special, Kate. Did you know I named your mother Annie because of Annabelle?
I thought you might have, but I wasn't sure, said Kate. What is it that you've been thinking about the dolls?
Kate drew in a deep breath. She let it out.
Grandma Catherine, she said at last, did you ever think the dolls are alive?
Grandma Catherine smiled. Well, I did wonder about that when I was your age.
And what do you think now? Asked Kate.
Grandma Catherine hesitated.
Sometimes I still wonder.
Kate lifted her head, and her grandmother turned around so that they were both gazing into the doll's house.
Annabelle, still draped over the kitchen chair, didn't move, but she smiled to herself. That is the end of the book, The Doll People, by Anne M. Martin. I hope you guys enjoyed. I thought it was a cute book. So we have some time right now, and I'm going to start a new book called Return of the Homework Machine by Dan Gutman. So I don't know if you guys remembered me previously narrating a book called The Homework Machine at, you know, for Young at Heart. And it was about these kids that got away for months with a machine that did their homework for them. And it started with this guy, I forget his name, but he was like kind of a genius, and he created this machine, and the school eventually found out about it, you know, towards like April or May. And you know how, like, at the end of the book, they destroy the machine and they, like, try to throw it in the trash or somewhere in the dumpster? Well, I guess this machine comes back. So we're going to find out how this came back. Ooh! Introduction. Police Chief Rebecca Fish. Grand Canyon, Arizona.
Is this thing working?
Okay. Good. We're going to need a lot of tape for this one. Well, remember what happened the last time with those crazy kids? It was in all the papers. Just about the most exciting thing to happen round here since them two planes crashed over the canyon in 56. Just to review, these four youngsters from the Grand Canyon School down the road built some machine that did their homework for them automatically. Smart kids. Good kids down deep. And then for some reason, they built themselves a catapult and chucked the whole darn contraption into the canyon. Strangest thing I ever seen. Of course, that wouldn't be the first time somebody did something strange out here. I remember back in 93 when three people drove their cars right into the Grand Canyon after renting that movie Thelma and Louise. 50 people died here that year altogether. I think that was the record. Must be something about the canyon. That's my guess. It's the only place on the planet that opens up, you know, like a big crack. Attracts the weirdo element, you might say. Anyhow, throwing computers into the canyon ain't just littering. Those kids could have hurt somebody. We had to bring them in for questions, you know, throw a little scare into them to let them know they did wrong. I thought I'd seen the last of them kids. Thought we taught them a lesson. Guess not, 'cause they went off and did something even stupider. Only this time, somebody died. We had to bring them in here again, stick them in separate rooms, and get their testimony on tape for the record. Far as I'm concerned, this case is closed forever. I got more important things to do with my time than babysit for a bunch of nutty kids, that's for darn sure. Chapter 1, September, Sam Dawkins, Grade 6.
What do you want me to say? My name? Again? Don't you have it from the first time?
Okay, I'm Sam Dawkins, but everybody calls me Snick Wad, or Snick, on account of that's my name spelled backwards. It's a Snick name. Get it? Do we really have to go through this whole thing all over again? I mean, sometimes freak accidents just happen. There's nothing you can do about it. Nobody means for them to happen.
They just do. It just did. We're all sorry it happened. If any of us had known what was going to happen, we never would have done any of it. Can I go home now? I really don't like being here.
Judy Douglas, grade 6.
I can't believe I'm sitting in this room again. I want you to know that this is just the most humiliating thing that ever happened to me in my entire life. I'm not a criminal. It was an accident. We're sorry. None of us knew it was going to get out of control, I swear. I have worked so hard all my life to get good grades and sign up for lots of extracurricular activities and go to church and always do the right thing. I have been on the principal's list every marking period since second grade. I'm not talking about the honor roll where you get B's on your report card. The principal's list, that's straight A's. And now this happens again. It makes me question why I try so hard to be good. I mean, really, what's the reward? If this keeps me out of the Ivy League, my mom will never let me forget it.
Judy's mom. I assure you, my daughter will never be involved with anything like this again. Not if I have anything to say about it. I teach my children to learn from their mistakes. She is on permanent probation.
Kelsey Donnelly, grade 6. We are all really sorry. I'm not just saying that because we're in trouble. We really felt terrible about what happened. It was just one of those freak accidents. Do I really have to tell the whole story from the beginning? Okay, I have to confess, it was kind of cool seeing my picture in the paper the first time and everything. You know, even if it was because we got caught heaving the homework machine into the Grand Canyon. It was even mentioned on the Today Show. Can you believe that? We were a little famous for a while. We had our 15 minutes. I mean, don't get me wrong. I felt bad and all because what we did was wrong. But you can't help but get a little tingle when you see your when you see your picture in the paper. I cut it out and put it in my scrapbook. But this is getting old. I promise you won't see me in here again. I promise.
Brenton Damagachi, grade 6.
First, let me say it was all my fault. The others were there, of course. But I built the machine in the first place. I have to take responsibility for anything that was done with it. I wonder if it might be possible to invent a time machine. I have no desire to go to the past or future, personally. But if one had a time machine, any time you made a mistake in life, you could just go back a few seconds and erase it, just like the eraser on a pencil. Do it over. Then you would never make any mistakes. You would be perfect. Except, I suppose, for the mistakes you don't know about. You can't fix a mistake if you don't even know that you made one. May I have a drink of water? Thanks.
Ronnie Teotwaki,
grade 6. You want to know what I thought about the whole thing? I'll be honest. I thought it was great that Brenton, Snick, Judy, and Kelsey got caught throwing their homework machine into the canyon. What a dumb thing to do. And people always say I use bad judgment. It served them right. That's how I felt. I laughed all day. Of course, this is a different story. I was involved. I admit it. If you need to throw me in reform school or something, well, I guess I deserve it.
Miss Rasmussen, fifth grade teacher.
They are all good kids. They really are. I felt partly responsible for the first mess because it happened on my watch. I was a first-year teacher at the time. If I had been more experienced, I probably would have noticed that their homework was so similar.
I might have figured out that they were using a machine to do it for them.
Ah, but you live and you learn, right?
Judy Douglas, grade 6. You want to go all the way back to September? Okay. Well, that's my favorite time of year because the tourists have gone home. The leaves fall from the trees. It's quiet around the canyon, and you don't have traffic jams and RVs all over and people everywhere with cameras and coolers. We have the Grand Canyon all to ourselves, it seems. It's like our backyard. I think we take it for granted. Sometimes I'm out with my mom in the car, and we don't even look into the canyon. I've heard that people who live in New York City never even visit the Statue of Liberty. If I lived in New York, I'd be there every day.
Kelsey Donnelly, grade 6.
A lot of kids are here in the summer, but they're just tourists. There aren't many kids who live around here, which kind of sucks, because you just see the same old faces day after day after day. It's boring. Our school is small. Everybody knows what everybody else is up to. So you do one silly thing, like dye your hair, and it's like front page news. I bet if I lived in a big city, nobody would even notice me. We have only one sixth grade class, so the four of us were together again. They wouldn't let us sit together, though. Oh, no, they weren't about to make that mistake a second time.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today.
This Young at Heart program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I hope you will join us next time for Young at Heart. If you have any ideas or comments, we'd love to hear from you. I'm Lavender. Thank you for listening.
Audio Journal is supported in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. We are a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
This is not a public service announcement. This is a one-minute mystery.
Now here's a puzzler. Before Mount Everest was discovered, what was the highest mountain on Earth?
And here's the solution to our mystery.
Mount Everest was the highest mountain on Earth, even before it was discovered.
And now back to our regular programming.
Would you like to hear news from Charlton, Southbridge, and Sturbridge that you're not likely to hear on commercial television or radio? Then tune into Audio Journal every Wednesday at 5 p.m.
When my dad started to lose his vision, we were worried. Sure, his doctor gave me and my mom some handouts, and I did my fair share of research. But we had no idea how much of a challenge vision loss would be or how it would impact his quality of life. That's why I was so glad we discovered Mass Commission for the Blind. They work with my dad, and they will work with you and your loved one as well to develop future plans and new skills and assistive technology. They even helped Dad get access to talking books and newspapers. He was so excited.
If your loved one is blind or visually impaired, find out if they are eligible to register for services. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB. That's 1-800-392-6450.
392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB.